listeners. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Ewan. My pronouns are he, him, and joining me today are...
Hi, my name is Janek. I am very excited to be on another podcast. I use any pronouns, whatever you want to call me. I'm excited to be on another episode, and I have been on a lot lately, and I've been enjoying a lot being there. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
Hi, it's Tim here. My pronouns are he, him. Welcome to another episode of That Eurovision Podcast. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Like, I haven't been here for a few times, so... Well, a few episodes, really, because I've been busy traveling around the UK. And may I just say, this is the first episode we're doing since we found out that Liverpool has been announced as the Eurovision 2023 host city. And let's just say that I'm very excited about it. And so is Ewan, because, like, it's within our vicinity. Yannick, you're more than welcome to come over. But anywho, I'm very, very excited about today's topic, because this is, what we're going to talk about is close to my heart. So I'm going to let Ewan take it away.
So today we have a little bit of a throwback. At the current time of recording, we are yet to know who will participate in Melody Festival in 2023. Not 2013, that would be very bad if we didn't know that. Though there are some rumours. So, to scratch that Scandi itch we've been having, we thought, why not delve into the archives and review Melody Festival 2016. For our listeners who are not au fait with Melfest, the 2016 edition featured 28 participants competing over a 2.5-round system. There were 4 heats of 7 songs, with the top 2 songs in each going direct to the final. The 3rd and 4th places of each heat then were drawn into the duels with the second chance round, with the winner of each of the 4 duels earning a place in the final, rounding off to 12 songs. Voting consisted of a hybrid system of juries and televote, each having a weight of 50%. That year was won by Franz with the song If I Were Sorry. He narrowly finished 2nd place with the juries, came a very comfortable 1st place in the televote, and ultimately went on to represent Sweden on home soil in Stockholm that May, where he finished 5th. So, the first thing I think we should discuss are our overall thoughts of the year. So, Yannick, for you, was this a strong year, a weak year, and do you think Franz was a rightful winner?
I'm going to be a bit controversial, but this thing aside, I overall thought that was a very strong year. There was a lot of great songs and great artists participating that year. And I think that in the latest years, it was one of the best editions of Melfest for me. Like, I think it kind of peaked here, and from next year's kind of went down for me, of course. Like, in the next years, I found myself not enjoying Melfest that much, like I did in 2016. Maybe 2020 was the one that I enjoyed the most since 2016. When it comes to the winner, I am gonna throw it at that. I hate If I Were Sorry a lot. Like, it's one of my least favorite songs in 2016, I think, bottom 5 of my list. Why I hate the Farrell story a lot mostly because Poland loved playing the song. I heard it wherever I tune in to listen, it was everywhere. Like, sure, it had a great success in radios, but it was like I have the same opinion about 2015 Sweden Heroes. Like, it was everywhere, and it kind of made me sick of it. That's why I don't enjoy it a lot. During Eurovision, I didn't enjoy it that much. I thought it was okay, but I think the aftermath of 2016 happened and just made me hate it. Like, I can't stand listening to it. But 5th place for France was amazing. Like, kind of broke a course of host songs in representing their own countries for a while. So yeah. I'm gonna just shut up now.
Okay, for me, my answer is I'll break this down in 2 sections. So First of all, I'm going to talk about the shows. They were amazing. Gina Dirawi was a very lovely host. And each week, they actually had different hosts with her. So basically, Gina would host. And then on the first week, she was joined with Petra Mede. And then, like, in the fourth heat, she was with Sarah Dawn Finer. And on the final, she was with William Spetz. And she was very versed on it. I really loved, like, her charisma when she was hosting. It broke my heart a little bit just seeing what she went through when she was hosting Mello. There was this documentary, like, in 2019 where she mentioned all of the stuff that she had to go through when she was hosting Mello. Apparently, she had a lot of security in the final. She had 4 bodyguards because, like, they were just sending her hate. Don't know what the reason is. She's a very lovely host, but apparently that's what it is. But, you know, I hope she comes back and hosts it again, and hopefully she finds a love again. But in terms of the year itself, this was the first full year that I was actually watching Melody Festival as a proper, like a proper show. And the lineup's great. I still listen to most of the songs that have participated that year. And you know, I still listen to, like, a lot of it. But looking at the winner, look, I have no problem with France. Like, you know, I still listen to his music. If I Were Sorry, it's just like, it's the most anti-Eurovision song. Like, how did this win? Is my first question. And second of all, there's another artist that could have done it better justice and would have made a livelier performance out of it in Stockholm, and they would have had to do it in the final with no issues. But, you know, what else can you do about it? But looking at it overall, you know, it's been a good year personally for me, per se.
When I'd said to tend to, let's do like Melfest 2016 retrospective, I was thinking it was a good year and I'd remembered that I loved it. But I'd completely forgot until I looked back in proper detail for this podcast just what a brilliant year it was. For me, Melfest 2016 is exactly what a national final should be. It's got that perfect mix of genres and vibes. It was super polished, and more importantly, it was so open. You know, it's a really good NF when you can make the case for just like half the songs as being justifiable winners. So when it does come to the winner itself, I really hate to say this, and I'm not going to dwell on it because I don't want to focus too much on the negatives, but for me, France's If I Were Sorry is one of the worst Eurovision songs there is. I hate it on every single level. Spiritually, I detest it in so many, and there's not one positive thing I can say about that song or that performance in Melfest or Eurovision itself. And I think it's the biggest robbery in Melfest history. Well, or joint second with David Lindgren in 2012, but let's not linger. So moving on, let's take a look at the heats themselves. So what are 2 songs that you think should not have been left in the heats? Yannick, take it away.
So when I went through the songs that were left in the heats, I kind of wasn't missing anything that was spectacular that I thought deserved to go further. But I'm going to shout out my girl, Krista Siegfried and Pharrell. I think that was a very, very nice, not her best song for me, but one of the ones, but I think she did a great job with it. Also, Ain't No Good But Me, Werner, I think she also had a great song, but just, yeah, I think it was nice. I forgot to say that Krista's Fire was very nice, but I think the semi was too strong for her to qualify, because the top 4 that qualified from that semi was amazing, and I think I wouldn't swap anything with Krista, but Krista is just amazing. So yeah, I have to shout it out. But yeah.
For me, two songs that shouldn't have been left in the heat. Okay, I can start this one easily. My first one would be Molly Hammer, and that she participated, this was her second and final participation in Mello. And what really bugged me was that they put her in the strongest heat, which really bugged me so much because Hunger is so good. But yeah, she got to Andra Hansen, yes, fine. But, you know, she didn't make the final. And she was the person that was disadvantaged by the app voting the year before. So I was like, okay, this will be this. She'll get her redemption. No, Andra Hansen. And Andra Hansen, no, she didn't make the final. So that bugged me the most. The other one is, I'll go with Yannick's choice as well. Christas Foller, which this was her best person. Well, for me personally, out of the two that she participated with, you know, it's very poppy. It's very upbeat. And it was one of the ones that I've kept on repeat and still listen to it to this day, actually. Like, I like Krista singing in Swedish. Like, she sounds like, oh, it's just chef's kiss whenever I listen. But I know not many people would agree with that, but I actually like her Swedish singing. So I hope she releases more because, you know, she hasn't done it since 2017.
Well, it's a hat trick. For me, it's also followed by Krista Siegfried. I agree with Yannick. I don't think it's the strongest one. I think Snowda Vinjord in the following year was much better. But I think Valor is such a good song that it's just easy to just listen to. It's easy to stick in a playlist and put with lots of other songs. And yeah, there's not really much more I could say that Tim and Yannick haven't already said. For my second one that I'm really infuriated that was left in the heat, it's got to be After Dark's Comet Somatwena. What I love about this, that it treads that line of being like a really kitschy throwback without coming across as cheesy and overly dated. It's so theatrical and over the top in the best possible way. I love that costume change in the last minute where the member just comes out in the giant feather dress. Like, the songs this means don't usually resonate with me, but the lyrics about encouraging you to be your true, authentic self just clicks so well. So the whole thing is just this big, over-the-top camp masterpiece that I love, and I think Sweden does really well. So the fact that it didn't get past the heats really irks me, because I thought it was such a perfect performance and just a complete package. But anywho, moving on to the next stage of the contest, which, if any, of the jewels would you change?
So, you activated a trap, because I can talk about Issa. I will wait for hours and hours, because I am... This song is probably my right now my favorite song from Melfest 2016. Just this performance, like her playing with the shadows and with the smoke that is on the scene, like that was such a perfect staging for the song. And people are saying that the song itself isn't like the best song, but I think it was that it's very good. But her voice and her stage presence is just. I am so mad about this. Like Kizum Kuzum is it's fine. It's a like a kitschy boppy song, but it was just a masterpiece. Like something that I really want from Sweden. Like something like, the same thing happened for me with Statements. Like theatrical performance with great voice, great stage presence, and just doing something that isn't like the like others. And I think overall it's the only Andra Hansen duel I think I would have changed. But yeah, Issa Aueva is amazing. Everyone should listen to it right now.
See, I'm looking at the jewels itself, because if you're new to Mellow and all things Mellow, is the way the jewels work is you'd have someone who's placed third against someone who's placed fourth in another duel. So basically, if you've been in the same heat and you can't be in the same duel, so you'd have to be with someone else from another heat. And then just looking at it, and I'm just like, Molly is in another heat. So if looking at it, like, I can't change anything because however the way I want to change the jewels itself, she's gonna lose anyways. Because I can pit her against Boris. Boris made the final. And I can't pit her against Issa because they're in the same heats. And the other choice would be Samir and Victor. Samir and Victor would win regardless. So, you know, for me, if I were able to change something, I would. But the problem is, you know, whatever change I do, like, Molly wouldn't go through. Issa potentially could, you know. If it's like you had Albin versus Issa, that would work. But, like, on another chance, like, you know, there is something you can do, but it just won't work. It just won't work at the end of the day. So, for me, I don't think there's anything you can change because the same songs would still go through.
For me, this was very easy to pick because the duels, my favorites won in duel 3 and 4. I was really lucky with that one. I really, really wish Rick had made it to the final ahead of Boris Renee, because Put Your Love on Me is, again, I don't want to dwell on negative, but it's an abomination. Rick by Albin and Matthias is just, it's just so fun and energetic, because I feel with a host entry, at least it's become a position, it's not going to win, it's just to be there to be a good performance, a good happy number. And I think Rick does that really, really well. It's just this really nice interlude. Plus, I just love Matthias Andreasen. He's just a brilliant singer. But yeah, I just really wish that, like, they could have ended up differently and he'd won because I think, they'd won because I just think it was such a better song. And I do really want to give a shout out to Dolly Style because although they weren't the best of the duel, they were still amazing. And I think they also would have done really well as that sort of position, as sort of like a happy interlude as a host entry with Roller Coaster as well, which I thought was a really fun song. So, now moving on. What are our overall top three? Yannick?
So, when I was trying to come out of top three, I really struggled with just speaking three. So, I'm not going to talk about Issa because I already talked about her in the previous question. But the other three songs I want to mention is, first of all, the song that I thought should 100% win the whole contest and represent Sweden. It's Human by Oscar Zia. Just what an amazing comeback from his previous attempt. And just amazing voice, song having a great message to after he came out, and just preaching it to everyone that we are not different than everyone. I think that was great. The staging was also very, 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 very good. So I think that was a whole package, ready for Eurovision, and overall, just better song and performance than Francis. I'm sorry. The other song I want to mention is Save Me by Victoria, Our Queen. All the time we were recording, it was just rumor that she's coming back, and I actually collapsed when I heard it. I am such a fan of her melody festival attempts. She has an amazing voice. Her songs never miss. And Sejin as well. Even the bad, I can pass the bad, but overall I think Save Me was, it's not my favorite and not my least favorite attempt from her, but of very solid, very great staging and her playing with the lights on her dress. Like, Elena Dmitrieva could never. And the first song I want to mention more, despite having other favorites, is Lisa Ajax with My Heart Must Be Dead. The Piper, the Toilet Piper as a staging iconic, never the same, whatever. I think she slayed a song, and I think that her voice really, really should really shine in the song. She should, I know she kind of went different way right now, like her last year's, not last, this year's attempt for Melfest was kind of her new sound, but when it comes to Melfest, she just stick with My Heart Wants Me Dead, Torn, like Lisa, please, something like that, if you want to take part. I want to shout out Aswalder as well, because I thought she's a performer, a music performer, and her songs are always great.
Okay, for me, it's straightforward, so I'll start off with what Yannick finished off. My third place is Lisa Ajax with My Heart Wants Me Dead. It's not like I went through the summer of 2016 singing every day, 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 every day. I think my heart. Yeah. I get it. I get it. I get it, Lisa. I'm gonna be singing that for the rest of my life. Like, you know, it's a very, very strong debut for her in Mello, and she put that out very well. And I'm just so gutted that she hasn't been able to top this off, because her subsequent participations have been, like, she always had to go through Andra Hansen for her to make to the final, which I know it's a good tactic, because, you know, more people would listen to it, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, it just means that the song wasn't there. And her entry this year in this year's contest, where she collaborated with Nielo, Trujo Atobrime, which I love the sound. Like, I loved that, you know, she was out there finding herself with the Swedish sound. But yeah, I'm gutted that she didn't even make it to the final, like the past the first round, you know, which hasn't happened to her. So I am very gutted in that instance. But, you know, if she does come back, I hope she comes back with the great ballad that she does best, and, you know, hopefully an album. But, you know, you're more than welcome to come back, Lisa. We love you very much. My second place is Molly Sandén with Universe. For me, out of her Mello participations, this is my winner. This is, like, the best thing. Like, it should have been her instead of Franz. That really broke my heart that she didn't win, and that she was very, like, the votes that she got were very underwhelming, even though the performance itself was great. And that she, you know, it was a unanimous thing with, like, the fans, but at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. I'm very gutted. And my winner, it's not going to be a surprise for everyone, but it's Ace Wilder. Like, you know, from the first heat that she did Don't Worry, and I was instantly hooked. And I think what tripped her up on 2016 was the fact that she came second in 2014, and the fact that there was this pressure on her. Like, she mentioned it on interviews, like, you know, it feels like there's, like, pins and needles at the back, just because everybody wants her to, you know, basically won up her result in 2014. It's hard coming back when you've had a second place from your previous participation, and that really showed. You know, it looked like she was very tense, and comparing that to Wildchild the year after, I can see why that's the persona she showed. But, you know, I still love the performance. You know, even like the little details that she had to change from the heat to the final was actually great. And, you know, it was such a shame we just didn't get to see it. You know, and also one little shout out to Anna Book, because she got disqualified before she even got to perform anything. So shout out to her.
Some very excellent choices. I actually fared incredibly well with Melfest, which I think this is the only time where Sweden did well at picking my favourites, because my top three actually all made it to the final. And just by saying, I was saying earlier, like, you know, it's a good one when you can make case for half songs. Trying to actually pick the three is so difficult because it was such a fine vintage. But in my third place, it's got to be Victoria's entry. It's just, with all three of my top three, it is the best of all their Melfest entries. And with this one, I really hope she's not peaked and that she can come back with something as good as her 2016 entry, because it's just easy to listen to, and just you can, in lots of different situations, just bop along to it, because it's just a good one. But yeah, there's nothing really much more I can say about that one. In my second place, it's got to be Ace Wilder. Oh, don't worry, it's just an absolute banger. Sweden is known for its polished performances, but this is polished and perfect in the context of Melfest, and it's just the fact that she's gone above me on that is just, it's just brilliant. And I know I'm just repeating myself and saying it's brilliant, it's amazing, but what more can you say about Ace Wilder? She's just amazing. She needs to come back and she needs to win, because she'll just bring all this energy and just the vibe to Eurovision that just needs to be in there. And my first, and I will agree that this is a really trashy, trashy song to pick as your winner, but it's got to be Bodin Okna. I mean, it's a song about just getting naked and bathing in a fountain. The lyrics are both nonsense and brilliant at the same time. Like, the lines is, there's a place for everyone here, regardless of who you are. It's got this welcoming openness and care, like wanting to live carefree. But it's also about just getting naked in a fountain in the middle of Stockholm and just dancing. I mean, it's the contrast, the vibes. And, I mean, it's the fact that they did get, well, nearly naked in a fountain. It's just, we've had the 2000s were about having women in ridiculously skimpy tops and things like that. Think Greece 2004. I think it's only fair that the men do the same. I really, really love that song so much. It doesn't fail to make me smile every single time. But moving on. Who would we like to see return in future editions? And is there anything, any aspects of 2016 we want to see brought forward?
So, Tim did mention it, but the each show was hosted by Gina, but also introduced a different host. Like a Sanremo kind of situation, like every day there is a different host invited, and there is a different topic mentioned in every show. I think maybe coming back to something that would be really, really, really fun to do, but I don't know, maybe because of what Gina went through, they don't want to do it again. From people I want to go back, of course, I mentioned Victoria, but she came back, and I hope that's true. So, Victoria, amazing performance. Every single person was amazing. But my number one hope for comeback is Oscar as a singer, not a host, as a singer. He was a great host. I think he did an amazing job as a host. But I would really like to see him back as with a great song. Maybe try again. I don't know. Maybe he's just happy with the second place from 2016 and doesn't want to go back. I don't know his opinion about that, but I want him back as a singer, and I want. I don't know if Isaiah still makes music, but I want to see her again, just because of her, what her performance in 2016 was. And I know she did the Eurovision movie, but could we have Molly Sandman back just for one edition or two? Just, yeah.
Oh, you've put me in a really tough spot here, haven't you yet, Ewan? I could go on and on, but I will pick three, just for my sake. Anna Bergendahl, just because whatever happened in 2010, she needs redemption for that. Like, she was very close in 2020, and I'm so glad that it didn't happen, because had she got it, we all know what happened in 2020. Like, you know, no one wants a part two of that. So, you know, if that is the case, then please do. Another one would be this one I found from 2020. William Streed in 2020, he debuted with the song Monlius, which was a very good ballad. You know, very close to getting to the Andra Hansen duels at the time. So, you know, hopefully we're not that far off. And final one, let's say a rising star, Clara Klingström. Behoven Today in Dog was my silent sleeper hit from 2021, and I still listen to it to this day. And I now have gotten so far to listening to her new releases now, even though I don't speak Swedish. And I have to translate the lyrics, so shout out to her.
So I want a lot of them to return in future, but again, I'm going to limit myself to three. Actually, that's a lie. Oh, well, no, it's a lie. I'll limit to three. I won't just continue wavering on. I really want Victoria to return, but with the same energy as Save Me, because it's perfect. Ace Wilder, I need her back. No, I'm sorry, I'm going for four. Ace Wilder, she needs to come back. That energy, the carefreeness. I know it would be very not foreseeable at the moment, because Samir and Victor have actually disbanded, but I would love to see them come back, or even just Victor Frist to come back, because I think he embodies so much of what I once in a year been that fun, that happiness, because in recent years Sweden's got very dark and moody, and I just want to see energy and happiness in the contest with them, because I think they can do that really, really well. And the fourth, I would love to see Krista Siegfrieds at every single Melfest, at every single Eurovision, because she is what she is is becoming one of those people that is synonymous with the contest. I think she should just be in everything. She embodies everything about it, and I love her so much. She needs to come back. And that brings us to end of another episode of That Eurovision Podcast. I'd like to thank Tim and Yannick for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on social media at That Euro Podcast on FB, Twitter, Instagram, and also follow That Eurovision site for the latest news at That Euro site on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thank you so much for joining us.